Conscious that we have visitors with us this morning, it is perhaps worth reminding us all that this September we are exploring creation time. This is a growing European ecumenical movement that sets this month aside to think about the environment and our connection with it. Begun in 1989, it affords an opportunity to explore the protection of creation and the promotion of sustainable lifestyles that reverse our contribution to climate change. This congregation is not an eco-congregation, so we are not formally committed to ensuring that our workings promote the best for the world we live in. In some areas of our pattern of being a congregation at the moment, that seems beyond attainable. That's in areas like heating and lighting, particularly of this building. However, not being involved in a scheme like eco-congregations does not exempt us from thinking about our impact on the environment through personal and corporate action. Instead, the stories of faith found within Scripture suggest a willingness to live with the awareness of our connectivity to other people and to the creation around us. In a global context, we're beginning to recognise that our neighbour is more than the person who lives next door. Instead, our neighbour might live on the other side of the world, and although physically unknown to us, we are to live with the recognition that how we live may have an impact, and even at a distance, another life affected. Changed for all kinds of reasons. Approximately 65 million people are displaced because of climate chaos, religious and political oppression, or simply conflict. That's one in every 113 people on the planet. To bring that into a sense of reality, that would be two people sitting here this morning. 40 million of those people are displaced within their own borders. And because of that, they're not recognised as refugees, leaving them with no rights or protections. The chaos of climate change, of political unrest, can leave us reeling, feeling as though there's nothing we can do. What's interesting to discover, or perhaps remember, is that Scripture has always encouraged the faithful to look beyond themselves and make a place for the stranger, the outsider, and for the stewardship of creation. The book of Ruth highlights laws from Leviticus and Deuteronomy where widows and children and refugees are protected and catered for at harvest time, as fields were not to be ploughed to the edges. The book of Job encourages the faithful to keep a place in their homes for the stranger or the traveller. We hear from the book of Proverbs this morning that rich and poor are all the same, because all are made by the Creator. There is a reminder of sharing from what we have, so that we might be blessed by the potential of new relationships. The poor and the needy are not to be exploited, but instead valued because of what they bring. Seeking a good name is not about wealth and riches, but instead about seeking fairness and justice as we live and work with others and make our marks upon the earth. The Syrophoenician woman that we meet in the Gospel of Mark clearly has an understanding of the expectations of the ancient Scripture texts as she meets Jesus. She's heard news of Jesus and of his healing powers, and trusting what she knows of the obligations of Scripture to those who are outsiders, she has come to him for help. It's hard to know whether Jesus is exhibiting an amount of bad grace or if he's testing the woman in his at first harsh and cruel response to her. Mark's gospel has gone to every effort to ensure that those who are listening to the story know that this woman is as far outside the Jewish faith as she can be. Details that we might be interested in, like her name, the name of her daughter's age, where they live, the manifestations of her daughter's possession, there are none of these. Instead, the gospel is full of detail of why a good Jew would not look at her or her daughter. She's a pushy woman who breaks the traditional boundaries of not speaking to men by approaching Jesus. She's not accompanied by her husband, and she's a Gentile. And just to make her absolutely unclean, her daughter has a demon. They're not the kind of folk you have round for tea. In contrast, the gospel suggests that Jesus has headed to Tyre to rest from healing and sharing the news of God's kingdom. Out of frustration at being disturbed while trying to rest, or as a means of testing the faith of a woman, Jesus is not immediately willing to help someone who is outside of the Jewish faith. He's not particularly polite to her either. She asks for help, and he insults her as he says that his task is not yet for the Gentiles. That word that we have translated from the Greek as dog is a diminutive form, and it could mean puppy, but it equally could mean something much worse, something much more unkind. It's the woman who grasps the hope in what he says. For she takes his metaphor of bread for the children and not for the dogs and points out that children drop crumbs that the dogs can feast upon. Her knowledge of the place of the outsider, her willingness to challenge, her thirst to find hope when all seems lost, bring her the healing that is needed. She and her daughter are invited into a relationship with the kingdom of God. And that moment of challenge in the gospel leads to a second moment of challenge in the gospel. In the second moment, we don't know whether the man is a Gentile, but he's still an outsider. Someone who is ignored by the rest of his community because his hearing and sight keep him separate. In this healing, Jesus creates a hopeful moment. Ephphatha. Be open. A cry that allows the man to be understood. A cry that places the outsider into a relationship with those who live around him. A cry that perhaps acts as a recognition for Jesus that he too must be open to the hope that the kingdom of God will inspire for all creation. When it comes to addressing climate change or challenging oppression, sometimes we think that there is no possibility of making a difference and effecting change. So instead, we close our eyes and our ears to the situation and forget to live hopefully. These persistent gospel outsiders should inspire us to live hopefully. But they should also challenge us to recognize that the privilege we enjoy comes with a burden for those who do not share our experiences. Jesus cries into our ears and our hearts to be open to the hope of sharing the responsibility of the world, of caring for our neighbor and allowing ourselves to be cared for by neighbor. These are not moments where we bring a great amount of knowledge or wealth so that another benefits. Instead, they're moments where we recognise that we can share our knowledge and wealth and equally benefit from one another. In our celebrations of communion, we're brought to the Lord's table together, to the table in an upper room, where all are vulnerable, all uncertain of what lies ahead. The difference for us as post-resurrection disciples is that we have seen the hope of the cross fulfilled on Easter morning. It is that hope of knowing that life is uncertain and yet being prepared in the hands of God that should encourage us to be open to the possibility of changing how we live. Hope should encourage us not to be overwhelmed by what we cannot do, but instead inspired to tackle the little things we can. We may not be able to clothe every homeless person, but we can stop and chat to those we meet and find out why and what little difference we might make. We may not be able to house every refugee across the world, but we can make space for those who have managed to find a place to belong, understanding that many live in the hope that one day they may return home. We may not be able to support every grieving or lonely person, but we can offer time and a relationship to those who cross our paths. We may not be able to clear every beach of plastic rubble, but we can take time to be involved in local initiatives and change our own use so that less makes its way to landfill. The hope that the gospel calls us to live by is an agent of transformation. It is hope that is daring and bold. It is hope that invites generations and nations to enthusiastically see the value in each other. Amen.